jump right into the message and not keep you too long, but I have some things that I shared in Nanuet, and I believe that the Holy Ghost gave me some thoughts to share, and I believe it's going to help you. It's helped me to see some things a little clearer, and as we talk about and remember Christ's resurrection, I believe this will help you see that purpose and his purpose for that reason. So let's join our hearts and our faith together and believe God to receive revelation, insight, some light from these messages, from this word that is being taught. And Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the word of God that you've given us as a guideline, as instructions, as the very life of God, the power of God, that as we read it, as we meditate on it, it'll change us. And Father, we thank you for all that you're doing here in the midst of this church and this facility. Thank you for the founders of this church, Pastors Clinton and Sarah Utterbach. Thank you for Pastor Sarah, who's still alive and still being directed and led by you. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for her. And as she hears your directions and obeys, we believe that all the things that you have planned for her will be accomplished. And Father, thank you for this great people that's assembled here. We thank you for them, Father. We thank you that all of their need is met in their life, spirit, soul, and body. And we thank you for the direction of the Spirit of God. And we thank you that he is present, sense his presence, and I thank you for his direction, for his assistance and help, not only for me to articulate it, but also to hear even what he's sharing. And I thank you for the listener here and on tape and on the internet. Thank you that they will receive light and revelation from this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles. For those that are visiting, the Spirit of God directed us some time back, about 4 or 5 years ago, to begin reading John chapter 3 and verse 16. And if you don't have a Bible, maybe somebody could look on or look on with them, your neighbor. But we read John 3:16 out loud and together, and it has changed us, changed our hearts. And I'm going to read verses 16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, I think today I'll read the rest of those verses, 19, 20, and 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And I always like to read Psalm 119, 130. I'm going to read that today from the King James. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And I like the Amplified Version. This is in Psalm 119, 130. In the Amplified Version, it says, "The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple." So as we receive God's word, as we hear it, and the Holy Spirit unfolds it to us, then we receive, as the scripture says, we get light, but we also get understanding, comprehension, discernment into his word. And so we're believing for that. And then, of course, one scripture, I was just looking up and writing it down before I came up, Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light," this is Proverbs 4:18, "that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So as we receive additional light, as we walk this Christian walk, we're going to get a little more light and a little more light and a little more light. And it says, "that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So that's development. And I'll read some modern translations. This is the Good News Translation. It says, "The road the righteous travel is like the sunrise, getting brighter and brighter until daylight has come." And that's exactly what happens. Every one of us that has come to know Christ, we start here, and as we walk this path, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter as we fellowship with God. And I like the Message translation. It says, "The ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine." And I like that. Now, one of the things I'm going to share today, these are some words that the Spirit of God spoke to me very clearly. I was, as you know, they say, I was sitting minding my own business in church school a few weeks ago. And the Spirit of God, during that lesson, began to just speak to me, and I started to write. So I ended up, in a sense, being distracted from the message that was going on the floor, and I'm sitting there writing as he was speaking to me and giving me some thoughts about some things. And part of it I shared at Pastor Sarah's birthday celebration, but it had application because last week, past 2 weeks, I've been waiting on the Lord just to to know what direction to teach, what to share. And he reminded me of these thoughts that he gave me. I want you to just say this: all God's actions have a purpose. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. Nothing. Yeah. He doesn't do anything without a purpose. See, sometimes we do. He doesn't. He's perfect. And everything that God does has a purpose. Has a purpose. And I'm going to share some things today along that line. We'll condense it here. Because you really, when you teach four lessons, you got to either talk fast or you condense things. We're going to just believe for the right things to share today. But Psalm 119:89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God's word is settled. It's forever, can't change, won't change. And so that's Psalm 119:89. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." They're established. And Matthew 24:35, I like this. This is the contemporary English version. It says, "The sky and the earth won't last forever, but my words will." See, the sky and the earth won't last forever, but my words will last forever. And God's Word translation, which is a more modern translation of that verse in Matthew 24:35, says, "The heavens and the earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear." His words spoken has a purpose and will never change, ever. So, these are the things that the Spirit of God began to just kind of share. He shared that first. All of God's actions have a purpose. And then these things came. His words are eternal. He is eternal. God is eternal. His words are eternal. And His purposes are eternal. His word, His purposes have eternal consequences or value. So God's word, so when you start thinking about this, God's word is His purpose. God's word is His will. So we could, now God spoke to me when He said this by His Spirit and said, God's actions have a purpose. Well, God's actions is His will. When He acts, that's His will. And it's His purpose. There is a purpose when God does something. And so when the Spirit of God was sharing before Pastor Sarah's birthday celebration, he began to just share some thoughts to me that all of God's connections that He establishes have a purpose. So when He establishes connections with natural people, there's a purpose for that. And sometimes it may be a short-lived purpose, but there's an eternal purpose when God establishes a connection. And when we have established connections, whether it's husband-wife, whether it's a job, whether it's people, there's a purpose in that. And we cannot be without accountability because God established the connection. And there's a consequence and a value in that connection that God established. And so, because God is eternal, that purpose is eternal, and there's a consequence associated with it. You understand what I'm talking about? And I'm going somewhere with this, so just, if you haven't hooked in yet, just sit tight. You'll get there. You'll hear it. But when what I did was I started to walk through, even in this lesson, God created the heavens and the earth for what? A purpose. God does something for a purpose. So when you start looking at, well, why did God create all of this? He created it for His man. He created it for man. So you can walk right through, God said this, God said this, He spoke light into existence, He spoke all of these things into existence. And it always, I don't want to use the word amuse, but as a brand new Christian, a baby Christian, the first week I got born again, when I started reading, I turned to the opening of the Bible, right at the very beginning, and I read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." He created that. So I said, well, why? So they're losing it by sending rockets up looking for some alien and looking for people, because God created His word. His word is eternal and will never change. It's settled. So you can look for some other being in the planets and the stars. You ain't going to find it. Because He created man on this earth, and if you read through the beginning of Genesis in the first book, He created the stars and the light for the earth. He created the heavens for the earth, and He created the earth as a habitable place for man, and He made man in His image and likeness. And when man missed it, He predetermined a Savior. So His Savior was sent once for all to this earth, not Mars or Jupiter or Saturn. He was sent here on this earth. Yeah, Pluto. Yeah. Is that a cartoon figure? No, that's a planet. I know. It's a planet. But he sent him here. But because mankind doesn't want to accept him, then they'll shoot rockets up, looking for something to substantiate what they think. And, you know, I read this a while back, but if you turn right over to Romans 1, go to Romans chapter 1, and you can see this, and you think, well, you know, maybe they'll find somebody. Wrong. They ain't going to find anything. They're going to find an empty planet, probably with some debris that they left behind. But go to Romans chapter 1 and look at verse 21. You can look in whatever version you're at, but Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they did what? They glorified him not as God. So they don't want God in their thinking. And it says, neither were they what? Thankful. So they weren't thankful to God. They didn't want to really acknowledge him as God. And then what it says, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, so they became vain in their imaginations. We're going to go out and try to find something. We evolved. No, you didn't. You just darkened. Your thinking's darkened because you don't want to be thankful to God and you haven't acknowledged God. And so God, in his mercy, sent Jesus here to die for all men, even the ones that don't want to be thankful and acknowledge him, because otherwise he would be unjust. But what you can see as you go through that God, in his purpose, his eternal purpose, he made the heavens and the earth for man, and when man missed it, we needed a Savior. And that was, as far as the scriptures are concerned, you can see in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, it talks about, I'll skip by here, it says in verse 1 Peter 1, chapter 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained, that means it says predestinate or foreordained, before the foundation of the world. So before man was ever created, he put in place and assigned Jesus to come and die for mankind, because he knew man would miss it. But was manifest in these last times for you. And the New Living Translation says, God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in these last days. So he was set aside, and of course, in the book of Revelations, in chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, or from the foundation of the world. So Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was already predetermined by God that he was going to send a Savior, because he knew in his divine providence that he established man, and man was going to miss it. And he had a plan in place. But when you look at the purpose, and let me just read this here. There's some notes that I put here. It says, God created an eternal connection to him through Christ. So he established an eternal connection. So we can't even get to him without a connection, without a link. And so that has eternal value. That has an eternal purpose. God established his purpose. He established this connection, or the ability to connect with him through Christ. And the connections he brings about have a purpose. And what was that purpose? So he's the mediator, which is what that scripture, I believe, in Hebrews says. He's the mediator. Is it Hebrews? No. I think what scripture that was here now. But I'll find that in a minute. But when he talks about the connections he brings about has a purpose, in John 3:17, which we read just a moment ago, said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to do what? To condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved." So that connection right there, that purpose, that was the Father's purpose right there. You can see it. That was God's purpose, the Father's purpose, that through him we might be saved. And that was the purpose for him sending his Son. So that's the Father's purpose. You can see that. It's 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So God established a mediator, a connecting link between him and who? The man Christ Jesus. So we can see... And I'll just read this because I'm going to read these notes here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son, his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh." See, so he sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh. And that verse continues on to say, "And for sin... condemned sin in the flesh." So he sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. So his purpose was to redeem mankind, and he had to send him to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh. Like us, sinful, but he wasn't sinful. And for sin. For who? Our sin, not his, because he was sinless. And so that was his purpose in doing that. And of course, in John 14:6, it says, he said, this is Jesus speaking, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, and as we read in 1 Timothy, he's the mediator. He is the only way to get to the Father. And because his word is eternal, that means that is the only eternal way you can get to the Father. You can't get any other way. You can't come any other way. Why? Because Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for my sins. So you can't get to Jesus any other way. If you believe the scriptures. Now, people believe there are a lot of other different ways. That's what they believe. But I believe the scripture, and I believe that God has stated that my word will never pass away. Men will pass away. Their ideas and traditions will pass away, but his word will never pass away. So one of the things, if you go to John, I'll slow down here for a second, John chapter 6 in the Gospel of John, and we look at, see, you could go through the Bible and look at the word purpose, and you can also look up the scriptures that reference purpose and also his will. Both mean very similar. They're similar. But John 6, and look at verse 40. It says here, "And this is the will of him that sent me." This is Jesus speaking now. "And this is the will of him that sent me," Jesus speaking, "that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now that particular scripture, if you read it in the Amplified Bible, which amplifies, it says, "For this is my Father's will and his purpose." See? So it's very clear. Jesus speaking, "This is my Father's will, his will, and his purpose." that everyone who sees the Son and believes in and cleaves to and trusts in and relies on Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So you can see here, Jesus is very clear. He's speaking through Jesus by His Spirit. He's explaining to His disciples, this is His will, this is my Father's will, and His purpose, that we're to believe on Him. So we're still talking about God's purpose in doing things. Let's look over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And you can see here in verse 9, this is 2 Timothy. Just before the book of Titus and Hebrews. If you get Hebrews, just back up a few books. 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." So according to His, so He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to what? His purpose, His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ. That's what the Scripture says. Before what? The world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, I'm going to just add some additional thoughts. Now we've given you some thoughts about God's word is settled in heaven. It can't change. God has a purpose in everything He does. All His actions have purpose. He created man for a purpose. He sent His Savior for a purpose. He's given us His purpose through Christ. Now, I'm going to read a few other scriptures here to add to this. Luke 8:11, you can mark this down. It says, the seed, this is what the scripture says, Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. So the Word of God is the seed, and it talks about the parable of the sower, and you can read that at your leisure. But the seed, this is what Jesus said, the seed is the Word of God. Who's teaching the parable? Jesus is. Now, the seed, how many have ever planted seeds before? All of us have. At one time or another, we've put some seeds in a pot. Or some have smoked them. For those folks that maybe have smoked seeds or weeds or whatever, you know. Anyways, so if you weren't a gardener, you were doing something else. Anyways, but the seed is the Word of God, and the seed has potential or purpose in it, doesn't it? Every seed has a potential in it, or it has a purpose in it. So the seed, the Word of God, has purpose in it. And I'm going to add some things. You'll see this. The seed is His will and purpose. So the Word of God, the seed of God, is God's will and purpose. Here's another thought. The seed is light. Isn't that what the Scripture says? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He said, when you have Me with you, this was Jesus speaking, He said, I'm the light of the world. The seed, the Word of God, is the light. As we walk in the seed planted and revealed in us, we will be walking in His purpose. Won't you? So God has a purpose for every person. Every one of us has a purpose for being. But that purpose cannot be realized until we make the step and take advantage of the mediator, the connection, and we establish that connection with the Father. You can't see what your purpose is. You really can't, because you're blinded spiritually. You're in the dark. And so some of the scriptures, and I'll read this, you can mark this down, talk about the seed. It says, 1 Peter 1:23, being what? Born again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the seed of God is the word of God, and every seed has a potential and a purpose. And God's word has a purpose and has a will. It's His will. It's breathed by Him. And so we can never, and as I said, as we walk in the light, the seed is the word of God. As we walk in that, we will walk in God's predetermined purpose for each one of us. You will walk in it. And here's where I started meditating and thinking about it. Let's go over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I love the books of 1 John, and you'll see some additional light and truth here. But 1 John chapter 1, and look at verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, if we walk in the seed, if we do it, we're not just hearers, but if we walk in it, that means 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, toward the back. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, He was the light of the world, He was the Word of God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, what does it say? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So as we walk in the light, you're going to see clearly what your purpose is and the purpose of God. Now you're going to see as He reveals and unfolds to you. Just what we read at the beginning of this lesson. It said, the road of the righteous travel is like the sunrise getting brighter and brighter. So you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. You begin to see. And, you know, it reminds me through the years I've worked with people and they had a lot of fun at my expense, you know, laughing and saying, that stuff you believe in is baloney. And, you know, and I came out of a very, a professional environment, and they knew what I stood for, but I didn't go to work and preach and waste the man's time. I worked, but I also let him know what I stood for. And I had principles and things that I lived by. And so in that setting, they didn't necessarily believe in the Savior that I believed in. But this one gentleman called me years afterwards, and he was a character, you know. And he called, he said, hey, he said, this is so-and-so. I said, yeah, this is 5 or 6 years after. He left, went with another company. And he called and he said, hey, this is so-and-so. I said, yes, because I didn't know what he was. I had no idea what was going to come next. And so I said, yep, what's up? And he said, I'm like you now. And I said, yeah. Because I still didn't know what was coming, because that was kind of the banter that went on. And I said, no, I'm like you now. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, I let him talk for a bit. And I said, praise God, wonderful. Praise God. You know, so he called, wanted to rejoice, and I rejoiced with him. But he said something to me I will never forget as long as I live. He said to me, Ed, He said, when I got born again, he said, it was like somebody lifted a shade from my eyes. And this is what he said. I knew what I'm here for. He said, I knew my purpose. And I said, okay. Because he just, he was in, he was in the army. He was into drugs. He was just, he was in what people do. He was in life and just doing things, And he was, a character, And we whenever we were out, I wasn't saved then. And so, we did things. So I don't need to elaborate on that. But anyways, as you do, But his point was when he said, I could see and I saw my purpose. See, that always stuck with me, that he began to see why he was there because of eternal life. And so one of the things that I saw from just God beginning to reveal this to me, this everything he does and actions have a purpose. When he gives us eternal life, it has a purpose. Not only are we saved eternally, and when he returns, we go back with him if we're here on this earth. But when the trump sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So we have an eternal ticket home. So one of the things that I began to see was whether you know Christ or not, and I see this more often in church because I'm around church people a lot, that I hear this, I don't know why I'm here. And I go, why? What? I don't know. I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't know why. And so there's the I don't know why. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing. And this is a person, these are people that have eternal life. These are people that are in Christ. I'm talking about a good reason why if you don't have Christ, you're walking around in darkness because you don't have the light of life in you to even give you light. But somebody who's in Christ that has eternal life, why would somebody say, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't understand. So it began to explain to me a little bit that as we walk down this path, and it's supposed to get brighter and brighter, it's only going to get brighter and brighter as you spend time, like this says here. But if we walk in the light, if you're not walking in the light, you're going to be in darkness, whether you are a Christian or not. And I'll show you something. Turn over to 2 Peter. You might, just another scripture that comes to mind here. 2 Peter, chapter 1, right at the beginning. We're talking about Christians. This book here was written to Christians, 2 Peter. And right at the very beginning of it, you back up from 1 John, 2 Peter, it says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, what? How? Through the knowledge, through the seed, through the word of God, through the knowledge of God, that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, let me just read down real quick here, just because we'll get to a scripture that makes a point. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's walking in the light. having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now look at this. What's the next word say? But for if these things be in you, and what? Abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren, says idle in my margin, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God, a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. That's the verse I wanted to see, highlight. What does it say? But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind. There's your answer right there. There it is. You don't know your purpose. You don't understand. You don't know. Right? So he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So whether you're someone who hasn't accepted Christ or someone that has, if you don't keep adding to what has been planted and you keep walking in it, that means you're a doer of it. That means you're going to be blind and you won't be able to see afar off, and you're going to be doing like this, like the robot. Bump, bump, bump. Like, what am I keep bumping into this for? I can't see. I'm blind and I can't see afar off. I don't know what God's will is and purpose for me to live above the stuff. And we can. And it was never God's purpose and will that we live beneath, but we live above, successful, prosperous, knowing how to navigate the obstructions of life. How to navigate them. Here it comes. Okay, move. There it goes. Didn't miss a beat. But if we don't fellowship, if we don't walk in the light, if we don't fellowship, then we're going to bump around in life. It's just plain and simple. And you're not really going to know God's will for you and his purpose. You won't know. And that's sad because he sent his son here to die so that we could be blessed and empowered with God's presence and his word to be successful. And so it began to answer some things for me. Me personally, those things that I haven't spent enough time, and you're bumping around doing something. And then you see, well, when I spent enough time, and I spent enough time fellowshipping with God, it was clear as day. Absolutely clear. I woke up and it's like, no blinders, you see it. You can see it coming right at you. And you know what to do. And he gives you a plan. And I remember Oral Roberts, when he was alive, he said, God will give you, he used to call it ICI, he used to say insights, concepts, or he used to say ideas, concepts, and insights. And he said, when you plant a seed, God will give you ideas, concepts, and insight. Insight what? Insight into how to manage your life and to do his will. See? So that's a thought here. Now, turn over to John 15, and I'm just going to spend a few more minutes because this is a lot to teach and to absorb. When I say absorb, if you're hearing it for the first time, sometimes you may, just like me, you know, you need to meditate on a little bit. You need to think about it a little bit, process a little bit, and then come back. It's like, you know, you go and you sit down and you eat a meal. You don't eat it all at once sometimes. Eat a little bit, put it aside. Let me digest it. Let me come back and eat a little more. And sometimes that's the way teaching the Word of God is, because people can't absorb it all and process it all at the same time. So you give them a little bit. Huh? Eat all day? Is that right? I mean, that's when we go to Audrey's restaurant. Okay, we eat all day. Okay. I say, okay. John 15. That's a big bill, though. Okay. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. See, and we're still talking about the same thing. Every branch in me that what? Beareth not fruit, he taketh away. See, who's somebody that beareth fruit? Somebody that's feeding, somebody who's walking in the light, somebody who's doing and bringing forth fruit, right? So it says, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So here you can see here that as we do the Word of God, as we walk in the Word of God, God's going to prune us. It may pinch. He's saying, look, don't do this, fix this, do that. That's the pruning process. What? God's purpose is he wants us to bring forth more fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. And it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear forth fruit or bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. See, so right there you can see the same scripture comes at what we're talking about, the same thing. God's will and purpose. The seed of God has to get down here. It has to be meditated on. It has to be acted upon for it to bring forth fruit. And as you act on the Word of God, you may not even understand it. See, that's why back up here in John, just back up John 13, it says 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you do what? You love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so when you begin to read these scriptures, you may not understand how me acting in love to you is going to cause other people to see that I'm a disciple of Christ. They're like, I don't understand that. You don't have to. It's God letting that person, the recipient, see something by that action. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know why me acting in love is going to make somebody else think differently. See, God is saying, and his word is the power of God. That's what Romans 1:16 says. It says, God's word is the power of God unto salvation. So God's word, when we act on it in faith, is going to allow God to supernaturally move in people's lives to see something. Just the same way somebody shared the gospel to you for the first time and you saw something. Well, that other person may not even have realized what they said had an effect on you. You don't understand that. I don't understand it. But God's word is eternal. And when we act on it, we're going to see clearly. And it's no different. There are many natural things that we can talk about. How many people understood marriage before they got married? No, but as you took a step of faith and you got married, it became clearer and clearer as to what this relationship and marriage relationship was about. But you didn't understand it all. Some shake, yeah, I know I didn't. I know I didn't. But the point is, there are many natural examples we can use, but as we walk in faith in the Word of God, which is His will and purpose, the power of God is released in our lives, and it changes us. It changes people. And let me just close on this. Close with these couple of thoughts here, and I've kind of sensed we've given you enough to feed on today. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. And I'll start reading in verse 3. It says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at verse 4. "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." So according to the will of God. Now, he did what? He gave himself for our sins that we might what? Be delivered from this present evil world. Now, if you read this, there's modern translations that read a little different. I will read this from what's called the Bible in Basic English. In Galatians 1:4, it says, "Who gave himself for our sins so that he might make us free from this present evil world after the purpose of our God and Father." See? So, you can go through and look at and look up the will of God, the purpose of God, and you can begin to see what God's will is. I mean, there's other scriptures that I could, you know, bring out. I'll read a few to you. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, we're talking about what is the will of God and the purpose of God. It says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." That is the will of God. It's eternal. You can't beat around that. That's what he says. Now, the Bible in Basic English makes it basic and understandable. It says, "For the purpose of God for you is this." This is being written to the church at Thessalonica. "For the purpose of God for you is this, that you may be holy and keep yourselves from the desires of the flesh." That's the will of God. Can't get around that. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So this is the will of God. We're to give thanks in everything. And again, the Bible in Basic English says, "In everything give praise, for this is the purpose of God in Christ Jesus for you." So we can begin to see that God's will and God's purpose is His Word. And it is the seed of God. And when the seed of God gets in our spirit and is watered and nourished and acted upon, it gets revealed clearer and clearer to us. And as we feed on God's Word, we won't be blind and not able to see afar off. We're going to be able to see that we need something. That's why you find that folks who are, let's say, stuck in an area of life, pretty much folks, when you talk to people that are struggling with something, they already know, most times, they already know that what they're doing is not right. But they just haven't made a decision or a choice to change some things in their life. They pretty much know. I mean, once in a while you say, "Gee, I didn't know that." Okay, so, you know, now you do. And most of us that aren't clear about some things, God will reveal to you in your quiet time, your heart. Just, you know, your heart is your guide and your judge. And it'll show you what's right and wrong if you're a Christian. And those that aren't know. They do know. Because it also says in Romans that even God's creation declares His glory. So a person, and you might say, you know, because I always answer folks, "Well, look, what about the people in Africa? And what about the people in the islands that never heard of God?" Well, the scripture says all of His creation declares His glory. So even if they haven't heard the gospel, but the Bible says that every man will hear, well, let's put that aside. The scripture also says that God reveals Himself even in nature. And not only that, in the book of John, in the very first chapter, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now listen to this. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So every man, woman, child that is born into this earth is lit with God. That's what the scripture says. But at some point, when we come to an age of reason, we make a choice and go, I'm going this way. And then what happens is at that point, God is merciful and God is good. And God keeps seeking us and prompting us, come, come back, come back. And then we have to then say, okay, I ask you to come into my heart as a Savior and my Redeemer. But every man is lit with God when they come to this earth. So no man is really without an excuse, and it also answers people's questions. Well, what about the babies? They're lit with God. So anyhow, here's let me just read this. Turn to James 1. And I'll just close with this particular scripture. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'll just close with this particular scripture today. James chapter 1. And look at verse 17. A very familiar verse 17 and 18. It says, every good and every perfect gift is where? From above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He never changes. But look at verse 18. We'll read this from the King James. It says, of his own will, his own purpose, his own will, begat he us with what? The word of truth, the incorruptible seed, that we should, see, we should do what? Be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we should be an example. We should be a first fruit. We should, as I wrote down in the song that we sing here sometimes, standing, we are to do what? Perpetuate and to demonstrate. We are to perpetuate the gospel, and we're to demonstrate it to the world. So we are to be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And that's his will. That's his purpose. We have been begotten by the word of God, the seed of God, and we are to now do what? As it says in Mark 16, he said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We are to go out and to demonstrate and to perpetuate that which has been put in us. And what has been put in us? The seed, which is what? His purpose and his will. That's his will. That's his purpose. We're not here just to be, you know, living, get a job, get married, have children. That's a wonderful purpose. Nothing wrong with that purpose. That's not your only purpose. The scripture's right here. Your purpose is to be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are to perpetuate and to demonstrate. We are to walk in the love of God. We're to demonstrate the love of God to whoever we come in contact with. That's our purpose. And to share his mercy and his love with people. as the scripture says, sila, or think on those things. I trust that, you know, that's something to feed upon, something to kind of chew on. If you don't understand it, there's a mic, you can ask a question if there's any questions that you want to ask. But I'm trying to just, I believe it's simple enough that it's understandable. Sometimes it's not understandable for you because you're trying to process, how does that affect me? How does that affect my purpose? And God will reveal that. He'll make it clear to you. And if you're not clear at this point, He'll unfold it. He'll reveal it. One thing about seed, as we all know, children go to class, they put seeds in the ground, they watch them do what? You water them, you stick them in the sunshine, and they sprout. And so even though you may not understand it right now, if you've received the seed of what's been shared, at some point in your life, could be a week, could be a month, could be 5 years from now, God will bring that back, and if it gets watered and nurtured, a little seed will sprout. And you'll begin to see something. Oh, yeah, I remember that. You see. And God will take that which is planted and begin to reveal its purpose in your life.